This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, good evening and welcome to the program. You may notice a small change of voice. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in tonight for Pastor Ernie Sanders, who's a little bit under the weather. Some of you will remember me. I kind of tried to retire this year, but haven't been able to do it.
They keep bringing you back in.
Bible believing, flag waving, gun owning, Constitution loving patriot. One of many redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and on the board tonight helping me out. Thank goodness. We have Kenny, and I do appreciate you being there, sir.
Well, good evening, Pastor. You try to get out, but they just keep bringing you back in.
Exactly. I'm going to be on Thursday and Friday night, too.
So oh, really?
Just kind of a warning to some of you out there.
Wow, you got a full week ahead of you.
All right. Tonight, I got a call from Pastor Ernie. It was about 2.5 hours before showtime. And it was like, can you do the radio program tonight? I can't talk. Didn't have much of a voice. And I thought, oh, sure, I can put together a 2-hour radio program in 2 hours. Right. So I think with the help of God, I did. So tonight we're going to start with a Bible study. We're going to start with a Bible study on lies. And I'm going to have stories all along the evening to kind of back up, because I believe that the biggest downfall in America has been the fact that too many people have believed the lies. They listen to the wrong people. They don't have the knowledge or wisdom of a born-again Christian, a born-again believer. They have been lied to and have bought into lies from all kinds of sources. So we're going to start with a little scripture tonight, Proverbs 6. And verse 16, 17 through 19 tells us, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Now, as I was thinking about that, that was very clear. These are things that the Lord hates. That reminds me, we are to love the things the Lord loves and hate those things that the Lord hates. And it starts out after that proud look. Boy, it makes me think of America's politicians, so many on the Democrat side, that proud look of Desmond Crockett today announcing running for the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Proud look? You betcha. A lying tongue? Oh, Kenny.
Are there any Democrats that fit that?
I was just going to say, I can't think of one right now offhand that doesn't have a lying tongue.
The only one that comes to mind is Fetterman. He's the only one that, and maybe I just haven't seen enough, but he's the only one that I've seen in, past, 15 years that has a shred of common sense.
Yeah, he has some. No, he's, when he started out, but he's changed, so he may be the only one. And then, of course, hands that shed innocent blood, that's one of those things that every liberal Democrat, they just aren't happy unless they're shedding innocent blood, murdering babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have a heart that devises wicked imaginations, now, on most of those wicked imaginations involve some form of lying, either lies by commission, by telling a lie, or omission by omitting the truth. So a lot of these wicked imaginations that the scripture talks about come from the fact that the left does not like to tell you certain things. They don't want you to hear the truth. So they just don't, the liberal media just doesn't put it out there for you.
Yeah, it's funny. When you were reading this, the first thing that came to my mind was mainstream media, the fake news. That was the first thing that came to my mind, and which is the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party.
Exactly. And then the false witnesses that speaketh lies. Every CBS, MSNBC, every one of the mainstream media is the same thing. You turn them on, constant lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And having been on the radio for 30 years or more, traveling the country, giving speeches, being at many, many conferences, I am still amazed, and I can't help myself, how many people, Kenny, buy the lies, because so many of them are so easy to prove, so easy to see. We will point them out, and yet people will continue to run back and listen to something that one of these people has to say that has been proven a liar over and over and over. And it's like, I keep wondering, what will it take for a few people out there to start waking up, more people to start waking up and seeing that deceit, lies, deception is what's running the world today? Do you think I'm wrong with that statement?
No, not at all. And unfortunately, I don't believe that there's too much. I don't believe that it's ever bad enough for some people. I think that they may even know that they're being lied to and just don't care because it's what they want to hear.
Well, scripture says deceiving and being deceived. I don't remember the exact verse right offhand. Deceiving and being deceived implies that many of those out there who are deceiving you have had to deceive themselves first. They've had to drink their own Kool-Aid. They have to buy their own line to be able to stand there with a straight face and tell a bold-faced lie. So we go on, and then we have Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. This one should scare people, but I don't think it does. But the fearful, and unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That was clear. All liars.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I have to point out there isn't a man, woman out there, even the born again believers, even the pastors, who hasn't told a lie.
Yep, we're all sinners.
But we're all sinners, but we can all turn around and go, oh, Lord, I told a lie. I was trying to make myself look better. I was blah, 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 whatever, you know, it is at the time. But
yeah, the reasoning really doesn't matter. It's the confession and the repentance that does.
That's the key. It has to be something true. It can't be, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean it. No, it has to be from a repentant heart. And then you are back in good graces with the Lord. That's the difference between us and them, is that we have to realize our sin. We have to go back to the Father and confess it. We won't lose our salvation if we don't, but we have a relationship, a personal relationship with our God, our Savior, our Father, and we must maintain that relationship. Otherwise, you know, it's back to kind of religion. The world's full of religions. Christianity is the only thing that has an actual relationship with the God who is being worshipped, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing like it in the world. Well, I ran a quick check, and there's only 51 verses in Scripture dealing with lies.
That's it? Only 51?
There's only 51. Yeah, I was surprised. quite often you can tell the importance of something, but it's not just the number, Kenny. It's the power of these. Psalm 63:11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Shall be stopped. This is something we are to, if we look at all of those things that the Lord told us to do, all those action verbs, I do believe we are to reprove, rebuke, and what was the other one? Exhort. So when we hear these lies, it's our duty as Christians to try and put a stop to them. And one of the ways to, we can't shut these people up, but we can reprove them, we can rebuke them. Reprove is a gentler way. You shouldn't really be saying things like that, that you can't back up, or you really shouldn't be hiding the truth. Rebuke is stronger, you know, like thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not do that kind of thing. And, you know, to go ahead and exhort, we have to be willing to stand and say, God hates liars. And you will have no place in heaven if you continue lying like this night after night after night. That's the kind of thing we have to do. Psalm 101:7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Now, when they say house, it's like the house of David. There's many, many families were in that house of David, many people in there. God, through the psalmist, is making it quite clear that people that work deceit, that deceive, that's by omission or commission, you know, lying one way or the other. Deceit is also a word where often it's somebody not telling something that they should tell them. They aren't going to be in God's house, and they're not going to be in his sight. He's not going to, in other words, he is going to ignore them and let them be on their own, which is a bad, bad place to be. Proverbs 29:12, I love this one. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Kind of reminds me of Joe Biden. Joe Biden hearkens to lies, which he did his entire career in the Senate and government. All his servants are wicked. They have to be to work with a man like that. If you are working with and for a liar, you have to be complicit, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to be okay with a lie.
Yeah. It's like in your job, if your supervisor totally tells you lies all the time, you either have to go along and give him, in a way, your consent to what they're doing, or you have to stand and say, no, that's a lie. I don't accept it, and I'm not going to do it, which would probably cost you your job, but you would have your honor, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I could never work for a news station.
Yeah. Well, maybe for Newsmax or something.
Well, maybe, yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
There's not enough money in the world for me to work for CNN.
No, same here. And then, actually, Isaiah and Jeremiah are two of the strongest ones. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Isaiah 28:15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. That's almost like an oxymoron. We've made lies our refuge. This sounds like the Democratic Party. Lies our refuge, and under the banner of falsehood we have hid ourselves.
That's the next I'm with her bumper sticker.
Huh?
I said that's the next I'm with her bumper sticker.
Yeah. Isaiah, again, let's try Isaiah 59:3. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. 59:4, Isaiah. None calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Isaiah pretty much, you know, I almost think he was sat here with us and watched some of the stuff on these lamestream networks, you know. But Jeremiah was there too. Jeremiah 9, verse 3 and 5. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. And they know me not, saith the Lord. They must to be in those camps. They must be Antichrist. And in verse 5, and they will deceive. This is the one that really gets me. They will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and worry themselves to commit iniquity. Those are powerful statements, and yet when you look at today's world, you look at some of the people out there, the real radical left, it's like God has wrote these just for them. It's kind of hard to imagine somebody back in this day and age when this was written as bad as we have today, but I guess this is what words for all times.
Yeah, you'd probably be surprised. You'd probably be surprised how bad it was back then as well with misinformation, yeah, disinformation. I mean, how many people were denying Jesus back then and, you know, and everything that went along with that and everything else that was going on during that day. It's probably pretty bad. It's hard to believe that it would have been any worse than it is today. I mean, for me personally, yeah. What really opened my eyes, and I always kind of knew that the news was full of it, you know, but was COVID, when COVID happened. And you start seeing things, because at first no one knew what was going on. And so you just, you know, kind of like, let's wait and see. Let's, you know, they say, let's distance ourselves. Let's try this 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Let's try this, you know. Okay, we don't know what's going on. Let's try it. We'll err on the side of caution. But then once things start coming out and you start seeing things and it's like, well, this isn't adding up. And they kept repeating the lies over and over again. And it's like, well, no, you're full of it. You're completely full of it.
And if that didn't get you, then you watch Biden stand there and turn around and try and shake hands and nobody's there, walk off into the woods and miss the door to the White House and, you know, all those things we saw. Oh, and then, oh no, he's sharp as a tack.
He's
working every day, all day long, you know. And then you just sit there and go, how could you say that? I just watched this idiot mumble incoherently, forget where he was, who he was, what he was doing. And then they tell me how brilliant he is.
Yeah. He actually reminded me more of, I don't know if you remember, Saturday Night Live back during the, I believe it was the 92 election, where Ross Perot was running against George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. And Saturday Night Live had the skits with Phil Hartman playing Admiral Stockton, who was, they were, he was so old that they had him sitting there driving in the car, and out of nowhere, he's just, who am I? Where am I going? You know? Like, just completely senile, you know? And that was exactly what we had in the Oval Office, and it was insane. It was an insane 4 years, and I can't believe that we are still here.
Yeah, and here's one. This one you have to think about for a minute. It's Jeremiah again, and chapter 16, verse 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction. Well, we're in the day of affliction. Now, carefully, listen. The Gentiles, the mainstream media, shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, BBC, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
And shall say, surely our fathers, yours and mine, have inherited lies, vanities, and things therein, where there is no profit. We've inherited things that there is no profit. We've inherited lies and vanities from our father. So who is our father? My father is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He gave me physical life. He gave me spiritual life. The
gave
second
us
birth.
Truth.
He made me a son or daughter of himself, the living God, the joint heir with him. And if you read that verse carefully, isn't that what that says? The Gentiles shall come to thee. That's anybody that's not, you know, was at that time the Hebrews, God's people. So all these people shall come from the ends of the earth, the BBC, Germany, France, all the countries we have with all the liberalism, Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they shall say, surely our fathers, not theirs, our fathers have inherited lies, deceit. The founding fathers lied to us. Vanity and they gave us things that there is no profit. It's not part of the new narrative. It's amazing how many times I read that without seeing what was really in that verse, Kenny.
Well, see, and that's the thing, though, too, because a lot of times, like, how many times have you read this cover to cover? A lot of times it doesn't really make sense until it's supposed to.
Until I need it, yeah, especially. Yeah. We were joking about Biden, you know. I've had some serious head wounds twice and have told both times I had serious brain damage. Still have it, still function. And even with brain damage, I could still look at somebody like Joe and think, good Lord, I can see it myself and they can't see it in him. It's amazing.
No, they saw it. They knew it. I mean, look at all the books that came out afterwards. You know, I mean, they knew it. They were just blatantly lying to everyone.
Yeah, well, then they come out and try and tell you know, say, well, I saw this all the way along when they lied all the time. How could you do that and then turn around and start lying again and think anybody's going to believe you about anything?
Because their base just eats it up. They're willfully deceived.
Yeah. But you think what it takes to be a liar on that. Hosea 10:13, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in the way in the multitude of thy mighty men. Trusted in men, not God. Yeah. And this is, you know, kind of put us where we are today, quite a pickle. In the last verse, Ezekiel 13:8, and like I said, there are quite a few to choose from. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. All those people are, when Scripture says something about don't fall into the hands of an angry God, well, when you spend a career telling lies to his people, I don't think his anger is going to be calmed or the word slackened any. And I think some of those people are going to have a very rude awakening.
They better repent.
Sooner than they think, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's like we always say, tomorrow's not guaranteed. They need to repent now.
Exactly. And I do believe we are now at the bottom of the hour.
Yep.
If my clock matches yours, time for a short break.
Yep. We'll be right back.
Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire, but it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. You'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from death's sting. Sin is a burning desire. That burning lake of fire, you'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire.
Well, that was not Johnny Cash you heard singing. That was the one and only Pastor Ernie Sanders. This is Pastor Joe Larson. I'm sitting in for Pastor Ernie. He's a little under the weather, kind of a bad throat and cough, and probably wouldn't do very well on the radio, so he asked me to fill in tonight. I'm here, or Kenny's on board tonight helping me, and
I picked that one. I thought with him being out, I thought it would be nice to at least hear him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love Johnny Cash, and I love that version that he did. It sounds awesome. I love it.
That is one of my favorites. I have played that often. I don't sing it quite as well, but let's say I do it well in the bathtub. Huh?
Yeah, in the shower, the acoustics are just perfect for some reason. I don't know why.
Wonderful. Yeah, it sounds great. Something about the water.
Well, speaking of lies.
As some of you guys know, Ernie and I are not spring chickens. We go back away. I don't. Some of you out there will remember there was a comic strip, Pogo. Now, Pogo was created by cartoonist Walt Kelly, and he was in the newspapers from 1948 to 1975. Around the time I was just after I was born until, you know, just after Vietnam. Anyway, this Pogo was a possum, and he lived in the Okie Swamp there. And it was a funny strip, but Pogo was trying to clean up the swamp. He was cleaning up the garbage that people had strewn all over his place, the part of the planet where he lived. And he looks up and looks at people in this cartoon, and he said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." And it's amazing because at the time, that simple little cartoon really caught on, and people started to apply that to many, many other things in this world. And quite often, the truth is, we're our own worst people in America. We are our own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. We have bought the lies as America as a nation, drank the Kool-Aid, listened to the wrong people, those that promise us something free, something for nothing, something somebody else is paying for. And a big part of the horrible, horrible mess we're in is, well, we're our own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of something one of the authors that I've read and studied. He died back in 1975. Yeah, I know, Kenny, I'm old. historian Arnold Joseph Toynbee, and he wrote some great stuff. He wrote a 12-volume study of history, and he described the rise, the flowering, decline of 26 cultures. This guy was really great, and it was amazing, but if you think about it, the rise, the flowering, and then the decline and demise, okay? Mm-hmm. And he came up with this line, civilizations die from suicide.
Yep.
Not by murder. Now, he saw religion as a prime motivation in history. People go, what? Religion? The prime motivation? I wasn't taught that in school. Well, there's a lot you weren't taught.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, "When I started, religion was not a prominent feature. In writing my study, I've been constantly surprised to find religion coming back to fill an even greater place." So, he said, what does the universe look like? It looks as if everything were on the move, either toward its creator or away from him. Now, think about this. Go back in history, those of you that have a mind. Boy, did he nail it. A country either moves toward God or away from God. And this cycle has been repeated. And often they've gone toward God and turned and gone away from God. And when they've gone away from God, that was their downfall, their suicide.
So it seems to be a pattern.
Yeah, a pattern. The course of human history consists of a series of encounters in which each man or woman or child is challenged by God to make the free choice between doing God's will and refusing to do it. When man refuses, he is free to make his refusal and free to take the consequences. One of the very learned men of the world saw some things. You know, it's funny, we think one of the brightest men in the world was Einstein, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very gifted. You know, his theories were been proven over and over. But it's interesting. He believed in God, but he, with all his high IQ and all his brains, he was not able to find the Savior. He was not able to see Jesus for what he was. So intelligence isn't always a big help in finding the right path in life. Sometimes you have to think and feel from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read and study, you look at scripture and the Lord, and if you do it with your heart, it is so clear to see him, Kenny. Maybe not with the empirical, brilliant mind, but with your heart, all your heart will see the truth every time.
Yeah, a lot of people outsmart themselves.
They're educated beyond their means, maybe?
Yeah, beyond their ability to fully comprehend.
Yeah, unfortunately true. I want to go back to a study. I did this back in May 2017. So I doubt, you know, too many people will remember it. Most people can't remember what happened last Wednesday, you know.
What did happen last Wednesday?
It was by George Barna, Barna Research, and the Barna Group. And it was done by Summit Ministries. It was set up and run by Dr. David Noble, who I had the honor of studying under and speaking with at many conferences across the country. And anyway, they found at this point, they said only 17% of Christians have a biblical world view. That means
what?
Your world view is how you see and perceive the world. And if you have the mind of Christ, you are seeing the world through what? Through the Holy Spirit, through the mind of Christ. You have this, the Bible to guide you in how you see and perceive the world. Now, he said the research found strong agreement with ideas unique to non-biblical worldviews among practicing Christians. Mm. Among practicing Christians, they have all these ideas coming in, these non-biblical worldviews, and this widespread influence upon Christian thinking is evident not only among competing worldviews, but even among competing religions. And I got to looking into the study. It was fascinating. You know, it looks at Marxism, where private property is encouraged, encourages greed and envy, is what Marx would try and say. Having something, owning something. Hey, the Pilgrims tried a true form of this, you know, communal living. Didn't work so well without capitalism. When they turned to capitalism, it saved their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at a couple of things here. Muslims, 38% of Christians had sympathetic views of Muslim teachings. And we have this new spirituality coming out there that captivates many that identify as Christians, about 61%. We're looking at this new forms of spirituality. 54% were identified with postmodern beliefs. 36% associated with Marxism. 29% with human secularism. And almost 3 in 10 practicing Christians, that means going to church, strongly agreed that all people pray to the same God or spirit, no matter what name they used. Now remember, this was clear back in 1917, and it's gone downhill drastically. 3 in 10 practicing Christians agreed that we're all praying to the same God, whether it's Allah, Buddha, you name it, you know, it's the same God.
Well, okay.
Does that scare you?
A little bit, but that praying to the same God, part of me wants to say that, well, there is only one God, so that would be obvious, but they're not following the teachings then. So that's
right. But if you call him Allah or you call him Buddha, it doesn't quite work, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And where do you place the blame on? I mean, do you place the blame on the individual for their own ignorance? Do you place the blame on pastors and preachers who don't preach what they need to hear and only what they want to hear?
Well, that's why I wanted to read that, because I have some answers there. One, each of us is responsible for ourselves. But we are to what Scripture said, you know, go to the Bible, look it up. Test and see if it's you know, what we're thinking or looking at matches what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So one, it's the fault of the individual. Two, I found that when Pastor Ernie and I were traveling across the country speaking in the Shake the Nation conferences, trying to wake up a church, sleeping church, we found that some of the most ignorant people about what's going on in the world were the pastors.
Of course.
I remember I was trying to explain to these pastors about existentialism. That's a big fancy word. But it's the basis of every college and university's philosophy courses. It's their basis. It was created by a man named Soren Kierkegaard. Remember Jesus said, let no man deceive you? Let no man? So here we have Soren Kierkegaard, a Dane, and he wanted to be a great philosopher. He tried for many years to find a way to make the world a better place. Couldn't do it. So he decided he would become famous by making the world more complicated, more difficult. So he wrote this existentialism. Kind of boils down to there's no real absolute truth. It's very convoluted, a bunch of other stuff. But the fact that every college and university uses a course written by a man who couldn't find anything to do to make the world better. All they could do is make it more complicated and difficult. Right there should tell you it's a bunch of, out here we call it commoner. I could go into some more detail, but it probably it's convoluted thinking. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You should have figured that out already, right?
Yeah, I'm already confused. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, here we have this. Philosophy is the basis that every one of our kids that have gone to a college or a university since the late 90s have studied and been given a dose of existentialism, which basically says there's no God, there's no absolute, there's no real right or wrong, things are subjective, blah, 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 bunch of other stuff. It's antichrist, number one. There's no God because God's an absolute, so if there are no absolutes, then ergo there is no God, right? Mm-hmm. So the education system is a huge part of the problem. We have sent our children, Pastor Ernie and I have talking for years, put your kids in a Christian school, a homeschool, get them out of the public school system. Why? There is no God. God is dead. If it feels good, do it. Make love, not war. I mean, this is stuff that they started teaching back in the hippie years. So we see when all of a sudden these people, the survey, 27% of the Christians surveyed becoming one with all that is gives meaning and purpose to their life. In other words, a tree hugger, becoming one with nature, with Mother Earth, with Goddess Gaia. 19% of those surveys those surveyed agreed that there's no way to determine the meaning or purpose of life. That's almost a fifth of these so-called Christians said that there's no way to determine the meaning and purpose of life.
Can you even really call them Christians?
Jesus made it kind of clear, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, can you even really call them Christians? They obviously have not picked up a Bible.
Well, they're not born again. That's for sure. They're not a born-again believer. But when you say this is what's wrong, I guess the point I'm trying to make to the people listening tonight, these are part of all these lies and deceits come from Islam, from secularism, from Marxism, from socialism, from communism. A large number of the Christians embrace human secularism in their worldview, you know. And one of its main components is materialism holds the world together. America, the consumer, drives the economy, right? Well, people said the purpose of life is to earn as much as possible so you can make the most out of life. You can make the most out. It's all about you, me, 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 not about love thy neighbor, mm-hmm. not about love one another.
Well, it's not, and it's never about the afterlife. It's always about right. here, now.
Well, even Jesus said it all a little about the here now. He said, what as you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. Who was it that Mother Teresa had a great saying. She said, I look out, I see this starving person. I see hungry Jesus, I must feed him. I see a sick man in the gutter. I see a sick Jesus, I must take care of him. she saw Jesus in all humanity because they were his children, his creation. And what did he say? Love one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, the church has not taken, quite often the pastors don't take what's in scripture and apply it to real everyday life. They're more worried about the collection plate so we can build the new building. We can have the new this. We can have the new that. We can have an auditorium and we can, you know, instead of.
Check out the pool we have.
Have us do, huh?
Said, yeah, check out the pool we have and look at the theater and.
Yeah.
I don't need all this.
Oh, that's real. I went to San Diego. We were trying to save this big cross. There were three Missouri pastors and one from Ohio. And they were trying to tear down a cross in San Diego on a veterans memorial, a great big, huge cross you could see from everywhere on top of a mountain, had this marvelous cemetery. And they wanted to get rid of the cross. And so we went to some of the churches to try and get help, you know, to get out there on our mission and fight to save this. Well, we found many of these churches had big gates around them, and the people had little buttons on their car that would open the gate. And we went in to talk to them. We were thrown out of a couple. Literally, we were asked to leave. They had Starbucks coffee shops. They had weight rooms. They had a theater. They had all kind of, and if you walk and look at their brochure, there was not a single thing that had to do with preaching the word of God, of helping people, doing, being a doer of the word. There was nothing.
No, but I bet.
Self-contained entertainment center.
But I bet everything had a price.
What?
I said, I bet everything had a price, though.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of money in some of those buildings. And when we tried to talk to them, they asked us to leave several of them because, oh, that didn't fit their what they were practicing. So, anyway, the fault, well, it goes down to the education system, the church, the pastors, and last but not least, the individual Christian out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have met the enemy and he is us. We have, as a nation, failed God. We haven't done our Bible study. We haven't. We're more concerned with getting comfortable, being entertained, having, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, having a little more money, a nicer car, a better home. Look at TV. How many decorator shows? How many things on TV are related to bigger and better boats? And cars and RVs, and it's about me world, not about God's world, but it's about me, 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 I, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did I kind of answer where the who's to blame?
Yeah, and you know, it sounds kind of doom and gloomish, which it is, but the bright side is that it's not too late. You know, at least for right now, we still have a chance. You can still repent. You can still turn to Jesus right now. 5 minutes from now, who knows? Right now you can.
If people wake up, we have a wonderful president who is Christmas message, Jesus, the Son of God. I mean, we for the first time, he's backing Christians. He's backing religion. He's becoming a believer. He started off a little. You know, he's getting better all the time.
He's a little rocky. He's a little rough around the edges. He's certainly not perfect by any means, but
no.
None of us are.
And who is? I'm sure not perfect, and I don't think you are either yet.
No, I don't think I am either. We agree.
Oh, sure. We agree. That's it. All right. I want to, we were talking about lies and the deceit. And I was looking back over some of the stuff I had. One of the things is back 1964, Lyndon Johnson had the Civil Rights Act, and he signed it into law. And I remember Milton Friedman had said, nothing is as permanent as a temporary government program. So here we had LBJ, created the Great Society programs, all right? And they were what? The War on Poverty. Yep, the Great Society, the War on Poverty, right. And this would take care of itself. We would bring people out of poverty, and the program would end.
Yeah, it's going great, isn't it?
Well, I went back, this is a couple of years ago, trying to remember, 2019. The Heritage Foundation took a look and figured out that his Great Society, LBJ's Great Society, War on Poverty, has cost $22 trillion in current, in current dollar value. This rises by about $1 trillion each year as more than 80 overlapping means-tested federal programs soak up test tax dollars. Sometimes those things we got for free cost us a lot more than we bargained for.
Well, that's
that was Bob Dylan, by the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's one thing that my dad taught me early on. Nothing is free. There is absolutely nothing in this world that is free.
All right, now here's what $22 million, $22 trillion. I have trouble with that word. It's trillion. It's beyond our comprehension almost. The poverty rate has been consistent from 1965 until 2019. It has fluctuated between 12% to 15%, back and forth, consistent since 1964. And yet we threw $22 trillion of today's money at it. Now think about that.
It's crazy.
Now, in 2019, a family of four had to earn less than $22,314. So we had about 46 million Americans, or about 15% of the total, here there's that 15 between 12 and 15, qualified for federal aid. Yet, every one of those four had a refrigerator. Two-thirds had a TV, a DVD player, and cable television.
Hmm.
Over half had internet and owned many video games. Three-fourths of all the households had microwaves, cars, had air conditioning. And if you look at Europe, where they really are poor, the houses are much smaller than ours. The poor over there did not have air conditioning, did not have vehicles. In fact, a couple of years ago, there was a heat wave. I remember Ernie and I were talking about it, and it was during vacation time, and many of the children were off on vacations. This huge heat wave came, and the old people were dying because they had no air conditioners, and they were trying to get fans. The government was trying to get fans to the people so they wouldn't die in their apartment. They didn't even have fans, let alone air conditioning. This was just 5 or 6 years ago. So the poor people in Europe didn't even have fans in unair-conditioned, small, tiny apartment complexes, and they were dying right and left. There were thousands of them dying from the heat.
How do they play their PlayStation in the heat? That's crazy.
Well, that's Americans had the PlayStation.
And I know.
They didn't in Europe. See, that's the difference. We talk about being poor. Well, the poor in America are rich compared to people all over Europe, all over the world. Our poor are rich, but we forget to mention that. See, that's one of those little facts that they don't want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Poor person in America has more, far more than poor people anywhere in the world. 10 seconds. We got a break. Pastor Joe, we're going to come back with a lot more right after this, so stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Right now, someone in a Hardee's kitchen is about to warm up your holiday with the new Grilled Cheese Bacon Burger. Charbroiled 100% Angus beef, bacon, and Swiss and American cheese melting on our soft, buttery sourdough. And our new Grilled Cheese Breakfast Sandwich with sausage or bacon and a fried egg. For your inner child and your grown-up cravings, the new Grilled Cheese Bacon Burger and Breakfast Sandwich. For a limited time, only at Hardee's. Cinnamon Raisin Biscuits are back. Unwrap them while you can. Only for a limited time at participating restaurants.